called the Lack Space in ICANN meetings. Of course, all of you who speak in Spanish may continue to do so. We have headsets, we have interpretation. Banda is going to introduce some special guests we have here that kindly accepted our invitation.
Okay, because the people has a small time to dedicate to us because they have another committee, I'd like to, we have two invitations today because our idea of this lack space when we are not in our region is just, you know, talk with the people from the region to understand what they are doing, what the opportunities they have for business, and if they want to make any kind of business in our region, to find out who is there and who can do that for them or help them to enter, whatever. So that's the idea. So we have here the first one, Edmond Chang from Dot Asia. And because they have small time, I just give them the words, you know, the floor is yours, and then I give the word to Ido.
Thank you. Thank you, Vanda. And thank you for inviting me here. I apologize for the short time I can stay here. Actually, seeing this gathering, we actually inspired the Asia-Pacific region to come together in a similar... So we're taking your inspiration, and the reason why I have to leave is our own Asia-Pacific space is happening at pretty much the same time at 5 o'clock, so I need to move over there. But I guess with the time here, I guess I'll start off maybe give a little bit of introduction of what Dot Asia has been doing and what we've been what some of the things that we are looking at in terms of the regional perspective of things, and perhaps then to open to some questions. So Dot Asia is I guess one of the I kind of still call ourselves a new GTLD, although we were in a slightly earlier round. We started operations in 2007, 2008, so it's about 6 years into the operations. Dot Asia ourselves is actually a not-for-profit organization. So since we've launched, we have been able to put that put our proceeds back into community projects that support internet development and adoption around Asia. So some of the things that we continue to support include like the one laptop per child initiative, OLPC initiative in around Asia. So sending laptops to rural villages around Asia. That's one of the areas we do. We support the Creative Commons movement around Asia. We also support a number of different grant funds with the Dot Asia development, and including the ISIF, which actually one of the awards ceremony was held earlier today at this venue. So that's the innovation. Information Society Innovations Fund, ISIF.Asia, which is an R&D kind of R&D and social development grants fund that APNIC and Dot Asia and a few other partners put together. So, and another, I think a couple of other exciting developments along the way besides developing Dot Asia ourselves. Is the ability to bring together the community. Since 2010, if I'm not mistaken, yes, 2010, we have helped be the secretariat for the Asia-Pacific Regional IGF, the Regional Internet Governance Forum. Moving forward, we also have supported various bloggers event and youth IGF events. And one of the things that if you see a group of university students in green T-shirts, they are the next generation at ICANN initiative that we support along with ICANN this particular time under an initiative called NetMission, and you can check it out at netmission.asia. as well. So in terms of our business, one of the interesting things that .Asia have experienced over the year, when we first launched, and I understand that .LAT is about to get launched, it's very interesting as we look at the development. The first year, the majority of registrations actually came from the U.S. and Europe. After 3 years of hard work, connecting with the registrars in Asia and actually building the capacity for registrars in Asia, I'm pretty happy to say that we've turned that around very much. Now, over 60% of the registrations are now coming from the region. So that shows a tremendous growth for us as well. And I think it's part of the development of .Asia to also in terms of developing the industry in the region, and we'd like to we're quite happy that we are able to support that. And I guess finally, one interesting thing as we kind of continue to go along, as we bring together the internet community around Asia, one of the things in our original vision was also that while we're only just a top-level domain, we think that this is we'd like to our vision really is to bring this collaborative spirit from the internet into other areas around other industries and other around Asia. So we're quite excited actually that since this year, actually we have been appointed as the secretariat. So we're now serving as the secretariat for the Asian Film Awards, which is kind of the Oscars for Asia. We've been supporting them for the website for a few years, but this year a significant change has happened. It used to be run by the Hong Kong International Film Festival, under which there's the Asian Film Awards. Since our involvement, we're bringing this collaborative spirit to that industry. And this year's awards, which is going to happen actually on Thursday, I'm going to miss it because I'll be in the public forum here. But this year's event is now actually a collaboration between the Hong Kong Film Festival, the Tokyo Film Festival, and Busan Film Festival in Korea. And we hope to take that even further. And that's kind of a model that, interestingly, .Asia exported to that industry. .Asia ourselves, in terms of background, we are formed by CCTLDs around the region. That's the major component in terms of membership. We have 30 members around Asia, and we're taking this model into the film award, the Asian Film Awards, and we're helping them build a collaborative effort for the Asian Film Awards. So, I'm excited about the showbiz, I guess. But also, I think this is one of the vision is to bring the collaborative spirit of the internet and internet governance into other fields in the region as well. So, thank you.
Thank you, Edmond. It's quite interesting to talk if you have opportunities to talk with the young people that are around there because they are brilliant people and very interesting. We .Asia sponsored this time the DNS Women, and the girls went there and it was a success, really fantastic guys. Thank you. So I pass the floor to
you. And apologize, Edun. I will.
Thank you.
Okay, I'll catch you up, Edmond, later. Okay, I will try to speak slower than Edmond. My name is Yudo. I'm from Indonesia, member of APTLD, Asia Pacific Top Level Domain. So actually, Don, the general manager of APTLD, asking for help. For somebody to speak in this forum because he has to take care of the CCNSO. So actually I have prepared some slides, only 15 slides, don't worry, because my time is only 15 minutes. The ASEAN domain names landscape. So next slide. The outline will be Asia's profile on internet. So I just did this yesterday. So if you look at the internet users in the world, the next slide. It's taken from the Internet Word Stats, actually. So Asia is actually the home of 44% of the internet users in the world. So, and we can see that, can we get the next slide, please? So, and you can see that Latin America and Caribbean account for 10.4%. So I don't know whether you have already like Latin America and Caribbean top-level domain, something like Asia-Pacific top-level domain here in Asia-Pacific. And later after this, we will have Asia Get Together Forum. All the GTLD and CGTLD will be there. Next slide, please. So if you look at the tables, Asia is actually the home of more than 1 billion internet users. And the next slide, so I'll just make it quick. Next slide. Okay, so we are the home of more than 1 billion users, while Latin America and Caribbean, you still have plenty of work to do. And then the next slide. But if you see the internet penetration rates there, although we are actually quite good in number of population, sorry, previous slide. So although we are good in numbers of internet users in the world, but we are actually not quite good in the internet penetration rates. The previous slide, please. So you can see that Asia is only, we got only 27.5% internet penetration rates. It is lower than what you guys have. Latin America and Caribbean is actually 42%. Oh, this one is great. Okay. Yeah. Well, Latin America and Caribbean is actually, you have more than 40% internet penetration rates. So, next slide. So, this is Asia. So big, from Saudi Arabia, Russia, Mongolia, China, and then Indonesia, home of the more than 17,000 islands. So, we have a name them all. And also home of the more than 500 local languages in Indonesia. And we have more than 500 municipalities. So that's the whole table for 2012. So I'll just skip this. So China is still, you know, it's the largest country in Asia and also in the world maybe, together with India. And then Japan and my country, Indonesia, is actually ranked in the fourth place. At the moment, we have more than 70 million internet users, actually. So this is the prior figures on 2012. And I don't know whether you have a similar experience, but what happened in 2007, previously we only have 2 million internet users, but then it jumped up within just 1 year to become 20 million. So it's more than 10 times. Why? Simply because our Minister of CIT, asked the internet service provider in our country, please lower the price of the internet so people, common people, can afford it. So nowadays, Indonesia, I can have a broadband connection internet, 6 megabits per second, with only about $15 per month. So it's quite cheap, only in big cities. But in remote rural, it's not like that. So next, so this is some CCTLD statistic. Korea, about 1 million. Japan, 1.3. China, they got 7.8 million. India, 1.7 million. Iran, our fellow from Iran, just recently celebrate their more than 500,000. Singapore, here, our place for the ICANN, 155,000. Hong Kong, 166. Malaysia, 201,000. And then Indonesia, we have 111,000. So as you can see that we have the digital divide. On one hand, in one hand, we have China with more than 500 million internet users. But on the other hand, we have Timor-Leste, used to be part of Indonesia, with only 10,000 users. So the digital divide is there. In terms of penetration, South Korea, the best in e-government in the world, they got 82% of internet penetration, but in Timor-Leste, it's only 0.9%. In Myanmar, it's 1%. So I don't know whether the digital divide is also there in Latin America and Caribbean. Yeah, sure. Okay. And also, we also have censorship. You can't access Facebook in China, except in ICANN meeting. last time in Beijing, we can just access Facebook freely. In Indonesia, we have censorship on pornography and also online gamble and online gambling and also other negative content. And you can also find variations in Asia. On one hand, like Korea, Japan, they are so mature in the registry system, so they can manage their own registry system in-house. While on the other hand, we have some fellows in Asia-Pacific where they are actually outsource the registry system simply because they don't have the capacity to manage the servers, the system, etc. In terms of UDRP, you will find so many variations in Asia. Korea and Hong Kong is actually one of the two countries who are mature in the UDRP. They have their own policy, etc. In the initial states, Indonesia, last year, we just launched the UDRP policy, so we can do in our own country how to deal with the UDRP. But actually, we just simply adopt the ICANN rule and ICANN policy basics. But you will find also other CCTLD in Asia. They simply ask them to go to WIPO if there is any problem. In Japan, I heard Hiro said that actually if there is any UDRP, then that's not registry concern, it's registrar's concern. So registry simply, the job is just to maintain the DNS, all the system, etc. And the next one is the availability for outside entities. You will find this is one of the topics that don't ask me to speak with you regarding whether we should allow outside entities, international entities, to have your domain names. Well, we find so many variations. On the other hand, we have .tk, which currently reaches about 20 million domain names. So it's one of the top, actually, together with German and UK. And it's free, actually, .tk. And we also have .tv, Tuvalu, where actually some of our television stations in Indonesia, they prefer to use .tv other than .id. Okay, but on the other hand, you will find like .my, Malaysia, and .id. We are actually considering a conservative one. We are strict. So if you want to get ID domain name or let's say my domain name, that you need to fulfill some requirements. You need to send us your citizen ID. You need to send us your local entities if you are, let's say, international company. You also need to send the tax file number, all that kind of thing. And then we are actually will not check the content deliberately because we are actually not the taxation agency and we also not the Ministry of Home Affairs. But simply, if there is anything happen to the website, if there is anyone complain to the government that this website is doing something bad, then we can know who actually we are dealing with. So that's actually the idea. And I'm sure that Malaysia.my also follow the same thing. So in Indonesia.id, currently we have so many SLDs, Co.id, Biz.id, and the recent one, Desa.id, the red one. Desa is actually the Indonesian word for villages, rural. So we are also concerned with rural area, where actually if you ask big ISP, they will not, how do you call it? The business model is not so good for them. So only in big cities, urban, actually the business model will be good. The gray one, net.id, is actually handled by the ISP Association in Indonesia. Go.id is still handled by the Minister of CIT. And mail.id is actually handled by the military. So this is the domain growth. Recently, we just reached more than 110,000. Now, how do we overcome with digital divide? I don't know this kind of experience is in Latin America or not, but this small truck is actually a mobile internet cafe. And we have that initiative in Indonesia that we want to have this kind of truck in each, not municipally, in each suburban. Yes. Okay? So if you open the truck, then you will find three computers here and three computers here, six computers connected to the internet. And we also have that four-wheel drive truck. If we also have the motorcycle internet cafe. The idea is simple. We ask them to go from one village to another village. So all those villages, the farmer, the fisheries, etc., they will know the internet. Obviously, you need to have your own local content first, because some of them don't speak English. And for cities or area where actually most of them covered by rivers, we also have this one. We call it boat internet cafe. So this boat is actually going from one river to another river simply to introduce the internet to the villagers. So this is the website of all those villages in Indonesia that have signed up to desa.id. And we also help them to create the content for them for so that their villages will be known on the internet. Sigit, have you taken the picture of this? Okay, next. That's the our board for the socialization and promotion. So, and we also have cooperation with Google. Basically, we help them, the SMEs, to also have a free domain, to also have the free application provided by Google. And it's all in Bahasa Indonesia. So local content is important in our region. So I think that's it. Just brief introduction about .id. I have covered the digital divide. I have covered whether you should allow the international entities to get your domain or not. So more question, my email is there. Feel free to contact.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Edu. Anyone wants to share some ideas, I can share some issues related to us. Because in Brazil, we have also some boats in the Amazon area. Amazon area is the only way to get the e-govern working around there, is to have those boats with the internet and circulate all the time. They just circulate all the time, each day, each half day in each place, and come back. So that's the... Yeah, that's the same idea. But we also have, and I guess Tony is the one that will launch .lac. That is the idea of the region too. So it's about the what we're gonna have for the future with this, and Tony will explain more of that. So anyone? Okay, please. Say your name, please.
Yes, my name is Karel Douglas from Trinidad and Tobago, a fellow. And I just two very quick questions, actually. One was the presentation. It was so fast. I just wanted to make sure that it was available online. That's the first one. And the second one was just to, of course, congratulate you on the work that you've been doing. From the Trinidad perspective, we are now trying to implement access centers, very similar, but centers either mobile or fixed, or a variety of the both, where you can actually access in rural, underserved or unserved areas, internet. So I just thought I'd make that very quick observation. Thank you.
Please, Marie.
Thank you, Marie-Laure Lemina, NPOC, NCSG. Very interesting, thank you. I would like also to have access to the presentation, if it's possible, online later on, and review it again. One thing is to provide a mean or a platform so that people can have access to the internet in such remote areas, and the other is the reaction or their response once you are there. So, it's a whole package, right? How can you tell us? Was it reaction? People get, you know, they approach, they ask questions, they're curious, they actually use it. How do you deal with this? Thank you.
Thanks. Regarding the presentation, I have sent it to the email here, so you should be able to get it from them. And the reactions of the villagers, farmers that who provide the platform, it is actually the government. So it is part of the, you know, that WSIS initiative that by 2015, we have a target that 50% of our citizens will have access to the internet, to the information. And what happened in Indonesia is that nowadays, if you don't know how to use the internet, you will not be able to be a civil servant. You will not be able to register for even elementary school or junior high school, because you need to use internet to register for that kind of thing. So, and also, our government has a new regulation that in 2014, all procurements in the government, they have to use e-procurement. So we are actually working very hard to provide the internet at least to municipalities, at least to the capital of its municipalities. And for the villages, we use that kind of platform. How they react? Simple. If we provide only in English, then they will interested at first, but then after 1 week, 2 weeks, they will not get interested. So local content is very important. So farmers, we show them how to do, let's say, paddy, field, etc. To fishers, we tell them how to get to know the area where actually fish located, so they can go there using GPS before going fishing, all that kind of thing. So the local content is very important for this kind of initiative. And I know that last year I went to India. They also have similar initiative, and also for e-health as well. So other than providing the internet, they also provide for that glaucoma problem in India. I think it's in Andhra Pradesh.
Thank you. Anyone? Please, Rodrigo.
Gracias, Wanda. Thank you, Wanda. There's one comment in the remote participation in Adobe Connect. Angela pregunta if this model that you just presented can be implemented in Latin America or the Caribbean. So maybe you want to give it a go. Thank you.
Why not? I mean, Wanda has already mentioned that they also have both mobile internet in Amazon. Yes.
Yes, the idea, I believe the question is if they can share with you some information and how to do, because, you know, in the details is the devil. So the people won't say it's easy to do, but when you start, there is a lot of problems, and maybe what the guy is asking is really if they can share some information with you to do that. So I do believe that they can, the guy can read, you know, your, put back your email, is there? Yes, sir. Okay. So it's, the email is there, so the people can please contact him and maybe make some, you know, better interaction among those regions. Thank you. Okay, thank you for coming, Edu. She was so quick because he has another meeting over there. So I'll give the floor now to Rodrigo, please. Your turn.
Gracias, Wanda.
Thank you, Wanda. I'm sorry that we started the agenda the other way around, but we just we're taking advantage of these special guests we had here so that they could tell us a little bit about the DNS industry in Asia. Now, so the next item on the agenda is to be able to talk to you about some of the experiences we have in Latin America from the point of view of the business perspective, especially the DNS industry. We are joined today by Robert Castillo from NIC Mexico, and he will introduce the business strategy for NIC Mexico. Good afternoon. Since this is a Latin meeting, I'm going to speak in Spanish. So if this is not your first language, you can use a simultaneous interpretation. At this time, we would like to share with you our experience with the development of the business strategy in NIC Mexico. Just a little bit of background. In 1989, the Tech Monterrey, which is the mother company for NIC Mexico, received the responsibility from the CCTLD.mx. This was the first organization in Mexico to establish direct connection for internet in Mexico with a university in southern Texas. We obtained the management of the database and the management of the domain registration and whois. With the development of internet in Mexico, we created the Network Information Center in Mexico, which was a department of Tech Monterrey in charge of managing and recording the domain names on the internet. They are also responsible for continuity of the infrastructures, and we have more than 300,000 clients in 2013. Now we have 700,000 domain names, and we expect to continue growing. As we said in the graphs, we can show you some statistics. We process on a daily basis 700 million consultations and queries, and these consultations are supported by the areas that are distributed in at least eight geographic areas. If we follow the development of the internet and the trends for the industry, then we will see that we are under the need to divide NIC Mexico in two initially. So this is how we created two business units around the .mx domain as a strategy for growth and financial sustainability, because we realized that we were spending many resources in attempting to cater to clients, mainly different clients, and we use the same policies and the same regulations. And so we adopted the registrar strategy model, and this model allowed us to offer the user the service that they need. At that time, we had the emergence of what we called at that time the domain name distributor, because they distributed the registered domain names for others. So they actually were a web developer or someone who offered access to the internet, and that was a small ISP, and they were in charge of registering domain names for their clients. We supported them by means of what we could call a patch in the system that would allow them to administer a bit more easily a mid-size portfolio of domain names in opposition to those who administered only one or two. So this also allowed us to adopt the registrar model, allowed us to simplify processes and try to focus more on each type of clients and meet their specific needs. Something we adopted as the guidelines for establishing our registrar was the fact that we would not compete with the other registrars that were working on the market. We never offered, and so far we haven't really offered, the services that they offer, such as hosting, web page development. We do not do that. We have no platform for resellers. It's only the registrars, the one that caters to or serves the clients directly. And we do not impose rates to the public. Our registrar is the most expensive of all, because we try to promote growth of the other registrars in the market. So what we try to do is to make a difference on the quality of the service, and this has maintained us in the preference of the public. We still have a bit less than 50% of the domain name market in the .mx domain. The registry model includes a special rate for the registrars, And this allows them to obtain discounts based on volume. And if they approach us, they can ask for some kind of special rate when they're going to develop a certain campaign to promote the development of domain names. So they commit to maintain a certain registration volume with some investment in promotion. And in that case, they can have access to a preferential price scheme. So for some time now, we have found ourselves in the need, or we have where we were concerned by diversifying our sources of income in NIC Mexico so that we would not depend directly on .mx. NIC Mexico is an organization that is completely private. Fortunately, we have not had any problems with the Mexican government. But we have heard that there were some situations where the government does take control of the CCTLD. So our strategy, our conservation strategy of the operation of NIC Mexico, is to attempt to diversify the sources of income so that we do not depend directly on the .mx. And this also allows us to leverage the current infrastructure and expertise to the maximum and use all of this for NIC Mexico, and to capitalize all the expertise and experience we have obtained with the management of the .mx in other projects. Among the strategic projects that we mentioned, we also offer openly to the public those services for the operation of a registry. We have approached some CCTLDs on the region, and fortunately, we were able to seek a partnership with the .LAT project and a proposal for the .LAT that Vanda was mentioning a few moments ago. We could also take advantage of the infrastructure to access to new markets and services. We are now working in e-billing, and this, we believe, is very similar to the domain name business. We actually, when we did the presentation for this project internally, I put up a diagram of the registrar model, and to put it into the e-billing model, I just had to add to remove the labels because the operation structure is very, very similar. It is actually compatible with the domain name model, and it requires a centralized management, high availability, experience in internet protocols, in encryption protocols, and all of these is part of the expertise we have acquired with the .mx management. So just to wrap up, I would like to show you the development and the evolution that NIC Mexico has had of a principle where it was a monolithic company that would do everything. We had the administration of the DNS, the administration of IP addresses in Mexico. We served final users. We served small distributors. And all of this was within the same box. Now that we have been able to identify clients that were fundamentally different, we were able to make a division in three different entities within the company. We have the black logo, which is the registry that serves the distributors. The one in white is the registrar that serves final users, end users. And IAR Mexico is in charge of IP addresses. And as we progressed on the development of the company, we were also able to diversify the economic activity, and naturally, we saw NIC Mexico as a corporation that was giving support to the three divisions and business units. We did a rebranding, that is an evolution of the brand in NIC Mexico, so that we can encompass the different business units. And when we were able to have access to new opportunities, this was when we could obtain the agreement to operate the backend registry for .lat. And so that was a different unit, business unit that we had there. And as a consequence of this diversification of our activity, we saw that we had to do something with the register because it still was associated directly to the .mx brand. And so this is when we evolved the register, we changed the brand, and this is where Aki comes in. This is the brand name for our registrar. So now we accredited it with ICANN, and so now we can bring generic domain names to our registrar. And this goes hand in hand with the .lat project so that we can bring .lat to our registrar. Now, this also allows us to have higher flexibility when we are able to bring new options to the public, new options in domain names that they were probably would have been difficult to access them, but we do maintain the Aki fundamentals with no changes. So we try not to compete directly with those distributors. We try not to offer the same services they do, and for the time being, we are only focusing on domain name activities. And we still need to speak about the e-billing division, which also has a registrar model component, because it is a certifying entity that allows what we call an electronic validation of fiscal receipts, and it also has a component serving the end user, because this provides the e-billing service to the user, the final user or end user. This evolution has actually led us, as I like to call it, and I've been 12 years in NIC Mexico, and I have seen most of the evolution. It has been very, very interesting, and we have gained a good experience with that. We are available to share this with you, and we can collaborate with anything that is at our reach. Thank you very much. This is Vanda speaking. Are there any questions? Please go ahead. I'm Andres Piazza. I know there's remote participation. As Roger was explaining the IP area, some people were asking me, does Mexico manage the IP addresses? And so I think there's a chapter that is worth explaining. If you want, you can explain it yourself. This is Roger speaking. I think probably you know more about this. Andres Piaca speaking again. I don't want to steal the main objective of your presentation. I just want to take some time to explain what the structure is like. Why is it that Mexico has a registry of IP addresses? And Kathy Handling is not here, right? Because actually, this is how the story goes. IRIN was the registry of all the IP addresses for the whole of the Americas before NIC Mexico and Brazil had their own IP addresses. They obtained the National Registry of IP Addresses, what they call the members, and when they go away from IRIN, even that part is not very clear for me. Perhaps Tony or someone else can talk about this. I don't know if they had it directly from IANA, those addresses that they obtained from Mexico and Brazil. Then LACNIC is a project of the community when we created the fourth region approximately 15 years ago. This is when this evolution started. And then Mexico and Brazil were two entities that were just together with the creation of LACNIC. So they are there before LACNIC, and they created to create LACNIC. And now they have 3,200 members. All of the CCTLDs are members. And so NIC Mexico and NIC Brazil pushed the creation of an RIR, and we created an RIR for Latin America and the Caribbean. And the structure for Mexico and Brazil is different from the rest of the countries. it has a regional registry and a national registry. And then the addresses for LACNIT are sub-assigned to Mexico and to Brazil. And they are the ones who exercise the operation, as Roger was explaining. The policies for assignment and are the same that LACNIC has, and the rules in operation are the ones the same, the ones that are used in the RIRs. There's policy and operation, and they're two different things, and oversight is a huge discussion we're having at this meeting. In terms of operation, Mexico has the operation, but policy is done by the operation of LACNIC, not by staff in the forums and meetings. This is, I think, how I summarized the questions that some people asked me through the chat room. So perhaps, Roger, you want to continue so I don't distract the thing.
Regarding IPs, there is nothing to be added. I don't know if there is any question. I am from Brazil. How much do the other businesses account for in NIC Mexico? The previous speaker, very little, because we're only starting. We're only starting. In a matter of revenue, it's a very small percentage in comparison with domain names. It's again the person from the audience. I apologize because I'm speaking in Portuguese. I think I'm not sure this is the right way, because the development of the internet will eventually require a certain stabilization as to e-billing. Is this a service provided to companies? I don't understand that very well. In Mexico, the e-billing scheme is made up of two entities, which are the ones that provide those services. So there's the regulating agency, which is the tax administration agency. And this agency assigns a certificate to the companies that will be overseeing the bills. And there are other agencies reporting to these organizations, which are the bill issuers. A user may hire an e-billing service, and the provider of that e-billing service, in turn, has to hire a verifying agency that will a digital stamp on those bills. In some cases, it may be the same organization, but it's two different roles. And in the case of NIC Mexico, we're going to implement both of them. We'll have the certifying agency and the issuing agency, too. The member from the audience again. And the last question is the following. The certifying component. Do you think this will be compatible with bills coming from the outside, from other countries? Because in Brazil, we have an issue with compatibility with Mexico, other countries in South America, so that those certificates will be acknowledged, those electronic certificates will be acknowledged by other countries. I'm thinking about this because I guess this will be quite necessary in the future. This is Vanda speaking. We're thinking of Latin America, businesses in Latin America. There are different billing agencies. We also have digital billing. We have lots of issues with that because there is a central certification, and that central certification, in our case, involves the Brazilian group only. So if we want to operate with Paraguay, those certificates are not compatible. And we want to have an exchange of bills, for different services, for example, because we're part of the Mercosur market. So this is why you have this issue. And I think that's a very interesting question, because for Latin America, for example, looking forward, this is very important because there will be services provided by other countries in the Andes area, for example. I think it would be very interesting to have something that's more open, something that is compatible with other countries. This is, again, the member from the audience. More than a question, I think this is a challenge. I think this should be studied so that eventually we will have something that will be compatible all over Latin America. This is, again, the previous speaker, Roger. It would be interesting to be able to harmonize criteria, because what's happening right now is that every country has its own rules and requirements. This is Vanda speaking. Since these are protocols, Roger, again, right, they are protocols. This is Vanda speaking. We should think of doing something that will be for all over Latin America. I think there's work to be done. Thank you very much. Very interesting. Anything else? This is Rodrigo. We have a remote question from Juan Manuel, who asks, what percentage of IPs and domains do internet users vis-a-vis companies? That is, what's the percentage, companies and users? This is Roger speaking. Well, I'm afraid I don't know. Do you know? What's the percentage, company versus individuals? I do have that information, because when a domain name is hired, we are told whether it's a physical or person or a company, but I don't have the data here. I don't know. This is Rodrigo speaking. Okay, we'll get that information and we'll come back to you on that. This is Vanda speaking. Anyone else? Otherwise, we can go to the next presentation. This is Rodrigo speaking. Well, there are two more things I'd like to cover since we're here. One of them is, what can we do to improve this space in the ICANN meetings? I want some feedback, and I'd like to know what ideas the group has. And I also wanted, in the last few minutes, to show to you an update about our strategy. But before that, since our approach here, our focus is a business focus, I think there are two people who can help us out here. Tony, maybe you can talk to us about our activities, bug.lat, or activities in your constituency. I think that would be quite useful. And Osvaldo Novoa is also here with us from GNSO. Maybe you can also share some information with us about the activities you're involved in GNSO. Anyone wants to start? This is another speaker. First of all, let's see, where can I start? My first concern in the LAC space would be the issue of registrars. Rodrigo, can I talk about this? We are carrying out an experience in Argentina, which has not been very successful so far. We want to be registered as an accredited registrar with ICANN. It's not a simple task. I'm going to summarize the information It's not that I want to tell you the difficulties we're going through in our organization, but we always talk about the need to expand ICANN activities, ICANN opportunities in developing regions. And even though that's a goal I share, which I also think is very important, it's not always so easy to carry out. In the case of becoming a registrar, we're going to summarize the situation we face. First of all, there is an economic barrier, which is quite important because you have to pay an application fee, $3,500. You also have to pay $4,000, which is an annual fee. You have to provide certainty and evidences that you are able to access a $70,000 fund in a bank, and you also need to have a commercial risk insurance for $500,000 for this project you're starting. Beyond that, there is a variable fee that is not specified, but every quarter you get an invoice, which is a percentage of the contribution of the registrar sector to ICANN's operation. I've not even been able to size this because it's variable. And every name that is sold, if you're a registrar, you sell domain names, a percentage of that, even though it's not high, a percentage has also got to be paid to the ICANN as a kind of commission. I really don't know how to define this, which is quite significant considering that in Latin America, at least in our case, our expectation is not to sell 1 million names in 6 months. We may call ourselves as an SME project, or in this case, it's an SME or an SM organization, but the rule is a little bit uphill. And the other thing we found is that there is quite a comprehensive questionnaire to be filled related to the technical aspects, where you have to describe your system architecture. You have to provide a lot of technical information to the ICANN. But it turns out that there is no technical specification provided by the ICANN to the applicant that says, in order to be a registrar, you have to have this type of server, this type of software that meets this kind of needs, that manages this kind of protocols. There is nothing. Quite the contrary, the ICANN demands that you explain how you are going to work as a registrar from a technical point of view. It's really amazing because it's almost like if you're trying to hire a franchise, you want to be a franchisee, but the specifications are not there. I've discussed this with Rodrigo quite thoroughly. I'm sharing this with you because we're within the LAC family. In case one of you has ever thought of getting into this, or if you know anyone who is thinking of getting into this, I think the entrance barriers are quite high and maybe unfair. Because let's think that it's not that with every domain name you sell, for example, .com, you're going to earn $100, and with only a few names, I will be able to pay for this very quickly. In the market, there are dominant players like GoDaddy or Enum who have millions of users and customers who are selling at a profit of $1 or 50 cents per name. This is very difficult. It's very difficult to compete with those incumbent players who prevail in the market. what the registrar in our region can do, the added value it can provide to is serve their customers in their own language and provide personalized service, something they will not find in GoDaddy because they will always talk online with a portal. But in order to be able to get into the business under those conditions, you have to go through a very difficult process. It's really not easy for us. So I thought it was important to mention this since the LAC strategy group is focused on improving all of this. I dared mentioning this here. This is Wanda speaking. I think it's very interesting because in Brazil, we have three registrars. All the others who started the process gave up because it was too difficult for them or too expensive. Others that were registrars eventually left and stopped operating because it was not profitable. Rodrigo, do you want to say something? This is Rodrigo speaking. Yes, I wanted to thank you for mentioning this issue because it's part of this strategy we have. And what Wanda is saying about the size is very important. If we put this into regional perspective, there are about 1,000 accredited registrars, and in the region, there are only 19. This helps me to promote a session tomorrow at a global level in ICANN. We've heard this concern before. And this is why there is a session entitled Supporting the DNS Industry in Subserved or Underserved Regions. The idea is that all of us attend that meeting, especially those of us from developing regions, so that we can contribute ideas and strategy to see how ICANN can provide their support. It's very important to have representatives from the Caribbean and Latin America to see how we can promote this from our position. Thank you very much, Tony. Osvaldo, oh, there's a question from the audience. I'm Ernesto Grimaldo from NIC Mexico. I'd like to add something about Mexico. We have three accredited registrars in Mexico. Only one of them is ours. The other two may really be considered the registrars that were genuinely developed in the region. That's something very important. And something that's also interesting is that none of them are in this meeting, so they are outside any discussions that the registrars may have, and this is quite relevant. This is Rodrigo speaking. Okay, so on Wednesday at 3:30, from 3:30 to 5 p.m., we will be holding this meeting in Canning Room. Please don't miss it out. Osvaldo, would you like to talk about GNSO now? This is Wanda speaking. Very interesting. I think this issue of the registrars has not yet been solved in the ICANN. There are lots of discussions. In Brazil, for example, the registrars, existing registrars, are part of very big, strong groups, strong news agencies, phone carriers. They are the only ones who can bear the costs. They are also ISPs, all of them. Hi, good afternoon. This is Osvaldo speaking. I guess you're all familiar with what the GNSO is doing. Right now in the council, there are three members from Latin America, Gabi, Magali, and myself. If it's the largest presence Latin America has had in the council, I think we're working quite well. We have our language issues. Since language is not our native language, we sometimes have issues with the terminology used by English speakers, but we're doing quite well. I think we are in a very interesting moment. Important policies are being developed. I also believe that we're going through a time where we are seeing how important GNSO is within ICANN, with this relationship between the GAC and the policies developed by the GNSO regarding protection of acronyms for international organizations. But well, we're working, and we're here to help you in anything the region may need. Is there anything else you'd like me to clarify? Hi, may I add something? Gabriela Slack. I'd like to add that we're also working right now at the GNSO on everything related to improving participation and diversity of participants of the working groups in everything related to policy generation. And from that perspective, we'd like to encourage the participation of the different regions. I'd like you to communicate this message to your communities. It would be important to have more representatives from Latin America in the working groups, because these are the working groups that will eventually create the policies. And this policy generation process is a key part of the multi-stakeholder model. I'd like you to communicate this message to your regions. In our meeting with the board, we discussed how we could improve our work so that what the GNSO does will be more relevant to developing regions. There is something interesting there to be done. Both Osvaldo and Magali, as well as myself, we're not the only members from developing countries. There are other members who are not from Latin America, but we all share the challenges of developing countries, and we're seeing what contributions we can make to this process. Thank you.
Gracias.
This is Rodrigo speaking. Thank you very much. Thank you, Tony, because this is how you help us with managing time. So thank you very much, Osvaldo and Gabi. It's actually very useful to be able to know a bit more about the Latin American activity. And because we are very few people, our activity is not really seen. We know more about Lacralo or what happens at the CCN, so that's why we give this space. APTLD presented today about the Asian landscape, but we have Victor here, who is a board representative for LACTLD, and he would also like to share some of his activities. This is Victor speaking. Thank you. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Victor Abud for .se. Now I wear the LACTLD hat. Since we all are here, all of us from the Latin American group, I would like to update you on what we have done here, at least for this year, in our activities for the LACTLD region. We had a business workshop, or a workshop on economic aspects in the old Guatemala, in Antigua, I'm sorry, in Guatemala. It was something good because we mixed registrars with CCTLD, and this was not really well seen before. So we invited some registrars so that they could make some presentations from their own points of view to be able to compare them with the CCTLDs. This was a very enriching workshop. It had very nice participation and very good exchange of information. Then there was a security, stability, and resilience meeting with the ISOC, LACTLD, and LACNIC, and ICANN people. This was also a very interesting meeting. It was held in Montevideo. And we have been working, because this is an update for this year, but it's also an update since the Buenos Aires meeting. So we have been working with other regional organizations like APTLD Center and the African organization. We have been working based on the Net Mundial meeting. As you all know, instead of working separately in silos, we've been able to have a good juncture and work all the organizations together, because we have more or less the same goals and the same challenges for these meetings. We have even been able, within the ICANN world, to have a better recognition of regional organizations. On the opening ceremony, these organizations were mentioned as participants. There's the iStar group that was mentioned. And we have been able to achieve a good synergy between the organizations, and at the same time, we have been able to get better participation and recognition of the importance they have. Because even though many of us participate at the CCNSO, I am also a member of the CCNSO board, each of us identifies with their own organization in Africa, in Asia Pacific, or in Latin America, as is the case with RCCTLD. In addition to these, dealing with all the internet governance issues and the latest developments we have seen, because this is not an issue that we discuss among the CCTLDs on a daily basis, we did something that's pretty innovative, and that was a webinar. It was the first webinar we had where we specifically dealt with internet governance. This was held in English and Spanish, and so it was a very good one. We had good participation and engagement. It was a test we did, and it was successful, so we will continue to do this. We will use it for different issues or perhaps to update everything that's going on now. We are also working on a project for all the CCTLDs in Latin America. This is going to be a network, and we are starting our work, but it could be something very interesting to leverage common resources among all the CCTLDs in Latin America. So this is part of what we wanted to change, that is not only to have workshops and attend some meetings, but also to have something more tangible, such as leveraging the resources, the technical resources that we are having. There was also a union of the regional organizations, and we have stated that at the ICANN meetings, we will formally meet. We have already met here yesterday. That was yesterday afternoon. The boards of the four organizations met, and we exchanged a lot of information. And the idea is to understand what has happened and what will happen this week and how we can support each other or how we can achieve a common goal with anything we may need to define. This is also very interesting. We have achieved that since Beijing. This was informal, and now we do it formally. This is part of the ICANN agenda now. So that is the past. Now the near future shows us that in the Brazil meeting, well, Carolina will be attending that meeting. She could not be here, but she will attend the Brazil meeting to represent us. And in May, in Cancun, we will hold a policy workshop together with the LACNIC meeting that will be held in Cancun. Once a year, we hold a meeting in the same place, and we try to have the General Assembly for the CCTLDs. This is my update, just to give you an outlook of where we are at in Latin America with LACTLD. This is Rodrigo. I have a question here. When do you think the NICAST network will be ready? We are just starting. Fred from Brazil is at the forefront of this initiative. We will start to give more strength to this, and we will also send a report, a communique to the CCTLD telling them what our plan is. We are attempting to know who are interested in getting involved so that we can know the dimension of what we're going to do. But this is something that should not take us a long time because it's not difficult at all. Rodrigo speaking again. Thank you very much, Victor. We have two items more on our agenda. We can have a 30-second pause to introduce a new colleague from the ICANN staff. He is Colombian, and he is now with our security team. He was in the compliance area within ICANN. Now he's in the security area, and he will be helping in this group as well. Would you like to have a quick presentation, please? Good afternoon to you all. My throat is aching as well. I am Carlos Alvarez. As Rodrigo said, for 3 years I have been in the contractor compliance team. Now I am in the security team. I am based in the Los Angeles office. I will be strongly focused in the region. This is not going to be immediate, but in the next few months I will coordinate the department and the organizations in the region. We will try to have training activities. Almost half of my work will be to train agencies and CCTLDs in security, stability, and resiliency issues. This is a resource that's available to you. You can look me, just, you know, search for me. My email is carlos.alvarez@icann.org. I am staff, and I just wanted to introduce myself. I am at your disposal. Rodrigo speaking again. And now, I just want to show you a very quick progress of where we are at in the strategy, but especially to thank some people who are here who have helped us a lot. Fatima Cambronero, she is here together with Dev, leading the communications group. It has a substantive progress, as you will be able to see. Other groups are here in NIC, Argentina. They have helped us with the preliminary design of the web page for the region. I'm going to show them how this is progressing. And then, of course, Vanda and Gabi, who are leading this space in the ALAC project. So this is very quickly our communications plan. You have been able to see some activity here in the social networks. There is, we actually have more than 1,700 followers in our account in Spanish. Our Twitter account in Portuguese has just started, and we will generate new interesting documents. This is one of the issues that we needed. We have also released our newsletter. We will produce it bi-monthly. And it has these sections. It's just one page, and it actually takes you to information links. There is a special section on what is going on within ICANN at the global level so that people in the region can get to know the activities. The next issue, at the next issue, we will talk about the IANA transition and everything that's going on so that people can get to know this in a very simple language. Also, in our region, there are links to press communiques and then an event space. So it's pretty simple, so you can get there very quickly. We are coordinating our website for ICANN. We are in coordination with those who are designing the new ICANN website so that it can have the same layout and so that it can resemble it. And we then would like to thank NICR for this because they are designing it and they are just in coordination with the ICANN people. This is a dummy. The content will be added as we progress. Fatima and the communications people are helping us. And then we're also launching the famous roadshow that we had as project number one. We have called it LAC-I Roadshow, I because of internet, and Roadshow because it has many issues. And the idea is to have 4 stops per year. And we have divided it. I'm sorry, I was forgetting to thank Tony. He is also leading this group together with Andres, who has just left. But we will have one stop at the Caribbean, then another stop in the Andean region, another one in Central America, including Mexico, and another one in South America, so that every year we can cover that. As for FutureCom, we still need to see this. Perhaps, Dev, if you're involved with this, you can just, you know, deal with that. Let me make a comment about FutureCom. Eduardo Paraja, I don't know if he's here. Well, he offered his help. They are going to have a stand, a booth at this event, and he very kindly offered to help us. I think this is very important. Rodrigo speaking. Well, thank you very much. In 2015, there will also be some news. This is just for you to see the rotation that we are expecting. We'll have one in Trinidad and Tobago. The other one in the Caribbean could be in Jamaica. I mean, it's to look at an event that already exists. Then we have Peru for the Andean region, Costa Rica for Central America. This is something we also thought about. And Chile for South America, maybe Argentina as well. Victor also mentioned the SSR workshops. We have already had a meeting in Montevideo with all of the organizations. We have a common calendar with LAC TLD, LAC NIC. We are also having a look at the OAS activities, the ISOC activities. And so we have a common calendar. We have made a common diagnosis. And perhaps what we're missing is the resilience part. This, I'm going to explain you what this is about. But we have a lot of security and stability, and this is where we can add some more value aside from supporting the existing initiatives. And finally, what's next? We had a very good experience with these projects. I believe we have progressed very smoothly. We have had some results, but we are going little by little, because we should not forget that we still have 35 more projects ahead, and there's a year and a half to get to the plan. So we probably will hire a project manager that is working full-time for the plan. He should not inform people in the community or the primary group that he was in charge of the strategy. And we need to generate requirements to ICANN. So this will be part of ICANN. And finally, I would like to ask you, and maybe some of you would like to make a comment, or if you do want to do this by email, how can we improve this experience? How can we leverage our time, especially in these regions that are so far away from our region? Those of us who come here are always the same. We get some additions with the fellows and some other opportunities, but then what do we do? We have just added Vanda, Gabi, Celia, and we believe it could be a nice opportunity to share with the Asian region, and they could not remain here and listen to us. But is there anyone here who would like to share something? This is Gabi speaking. I have something that we can say. It would be nice to sustain this idea in these meetings that we're so far away to talk more. I mean, we should exchange our ideas among us a lot more, even though we are very few, because we don't really have many ways to call upon many people, because there's very few of us who come to these meetings, and we need to take advantage of that time to have more exchange among all of those of us who are here. This is an idea, not looking into the future, but it's just something positive. It was a document that you sent on the important issues for this meeting, or probably the important presentations that we should not miss as a region or as a group. And I think it is worth maintaining this. This is Vanda speaking. I think the idea is, well, of course, we are a bit far away from our region, so the number of participants is small because it's very expensive to come here, etc. But I think in London, we will have participation from all the ALACs during the Atlas Summit, and we will have something more substantive. I think we need more ideas and help from those of us who can think, what can we do? How can we take advantage of the presence of all the organizations from Latin America that will be present there? So this, I believe, will be a nice opportunity to share, to do something more relevant. We need to give this some thought, but I believe all the ideas we have will be really welcome, because we have at least some 60 people. It's 60 organizations around the world, and we can invite them. We can have a sort of an exchange, a larger exchange among us, because many of these organizations are non-profit organizations, but they are active. They do business. They have their own domains. And so those are just business organizations. They look for a sustainable solution for their actions. So we should try to take advantage of them, because they represent countries that they do not naturally come. They will come once to London. They will not go to the other meetings. They will not show up. They have no conditions to participate. So I think this would be very interesting. I mean, to do something more concrete for the region. Then there's the Los Angeles meeting, and we can probably repeat something similar to what we have done here, just by looking for all the members of our region who are interested. So we can think of how we can do something focusing on business in North America, and just targeted to Latin America. We are open to new ideas, so please do speak. Can you please give me one more minute? I'm going to do my NOMCOM advertise. This year, we have the opportunity to participate in the leadership positions in ICANN. You can apply for ALAC positions. We have our own place just for Latin America and the Caribbean. So this is an opportunity that is repeated every 2 years. Now, this year, we have the opportunity. The next one, it will be for North America and for Europe. So if you want, there is a website, which is nomcom.icann.org. You need to fill in the form. And let me just remind you, I'm going to leave my card with the website, but let me remind you that the deadline expires on April 1st. So it's coming very soon, and we can access them through the internet very easily.
If you have any difficulties, please get in touch with me. I can help you, show you how to do it. I can talk to you about the advantages, difficulties, how long it takes, why it is interesting, why it may be a more active participation opportunity here in ICANN. This is Rodrigo speaking. We're getting to the end. Fatima wanted to say something very quickly. 30 seconds. This is Fatima speaking. I wanted to say that in the London meeting, there will be 160 organizations. Maybe this is not the right approach from the business point of view. I think we should talk about the DNS industry. If we have more DNS companies, we will have more government regulation, and the civil society will be controlling the government, and this is how everything is set up. Maybe we should ask for more support so this it will be able to raise awareness about this, especially in developing countries. On the other hand, you have to bear in mind that in that meeting, at large has its own and very busy agenda, so we will have to find a time to interact with them. It may be quite complicated. This is Vanda speaking. Well, this is a reality for the ICANN agenda. It's always difficult. It's a different agenda. The agenda is different from the ICANN agenda. This is Vanda speaking. But the two main days are Saturday and Sunday, right? So we can do it then. This is Rodrigo speaking. I'd like to thank the interpreters for staying longer. I'd like to thank you for participating. Thank you, everyone.
Gracias.